Our New Testament to Colossians, and we're going to be in chapter 3 today. Colossians in the New Testament, chapter 3. You find the book of Romans, Acts, Romans, turn to your right a few pages. And you'll find Colossians kind of tucked in there with Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians, then Thessalonians. So you'll find it there. Chapter 3, and our scripture text is 8, 9, 10, and 11 this morning. So find that passage. We're going to read it responsively. I'll read the even verses 8 and 10 if you join me on verses 9 and 11 today. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's good word. We're going to read, and then we're going to have a special jump right into the message this morning. Paul said these words under the inspiration and leadership of the Holy Spirit, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Dear Father, thank you for your book this morning. We trust it completely. We know that it has a work to do in our hearts. I pray that through the power of your Spirit, you'll have that opportunity this morning to do that work in our hearts. Give us liberty, I pray, in this service. Bless the song we're about to enjoy. May it prepare our hearts for your word. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Thank you, B.C.
Y'all enjoyed that, amen? Good. God bless you. Singers get a break, don't they? They really do. What if I was to tell you, I got four different messages here. What'd you call that? He just did. A medley of four sermons this morning. Yeah. Singers get an amen. They get a break. They take four songs, put it all into one song. But if I brought four messages this morning, we'd be passing out. Amen. Don't worry, though. I only have one. But it's as long as four of them put together. Amen. So look at verse number 9. I'm not being serious this morning. That was a great song. Enjoyed the medley of songs there. Look at number 9. Put off the old man with his deeds. And verse 10 says, put on the new man. Put off the old man, put on the new man. I want to ask you a question this morning in the title of the message. Why are you wearing that? Why are you wearing that? Let's pray together. Dear Father, help us this morning. Thank you for the good reminder about your love and our Savior's love as he went to the cross today in that song we just heard. Bless the message now from your book. Speak to hearts, I pray. May this be a help, I ask in Jesus' name. Sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, to be a help today. And amen. Why are you wearing that? Anybody ever asked you that question? Have you ever asked anybody that question? Why are you wearing that? Usually it is a question asked when someone thinks, you know, that what a person has on or is wearing is not appropriate for the occasion. Maybe somebody's either underdressed or overdressed. Why are you wearing that? Don't you know where you're going? Or they have chosen the wrong clothes considering the event. Or maybe someone may be wearing old clothes that are outdated as far as style goes. Now, my mother took all these pictures of me when I was up. She took all the pictures of me, Tim, and Tom, and she just separated them and threw them in the big, great big box. I said, throw those away. No, you need to look at them. I said, I'm going to throw them away. No, you need to see them. And, you know, if I had just saved all my ties when I was 11 years old, I could be wearing them today, amen, because they just have come back in style. And it's amazing. And my wife brought a few of those pictures home. My kids have had a blast about the last half a day laughing and critiquing and being very, very critical and ugly about how I used to look when I was younger. But anyway, you know, somebody has some clothes on out of style or outdated. Why are you wearing that? Why are you wearing that? Now, in this chapter, as well as Ephesians 4, Paul writes to Christians about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. We read that there in verse number 9 and 10. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Now, the old man is the old carnal, natural, sinful man that we became when we were conceived in our mother's wombs. In Psalm 51:5, David said, behold, in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, he doesn't mean there that she was having a sinful relationship that resulted in his conception. What he meant there was, as soon as I was conceived in my mother's womb, I possessed a sinful nature. As soon as I was conceived, I was the old man. It's the nature that we received from Adam, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world. So Adam was the one man who introduced the old man to all of us. And don't hold that against Adam, because if you or I had been in his shoes, they'd be talking about us today instead of talking about Adam. This is where we got it. The old man, sinful in nature, is passed on to every human being. We are all descendants of sinful Adam. The old man is the sinful man that each one of us is. And I use the word man in reference to women as well. I'm talking about the sin nature, the old man. That's what Paul's talking about here in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4. The old man. Now, what's the new man? The new nature is what we became. The new man is what we became at the moment of salvation. You see, before we get saved, our spirits are dead in sin. We have no communication with God. That's why people say, you know what? I've always known God and have always had a relationship with God since I was born. No, you haven't. Now, people will tell you that. I've always known God. I've always had a relationship with God since I was born. I'm sorry, that's not true. When you were born into this world, you could not have a relationship with God because your spirit was dead. God is a spirit. John chapter 4, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. We have a dead spirit. Body, soul, spirit. We're a trichotomy with a dead spirit. Fashioned in the image of God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three parts. Three different people in the same Godhead. I have a body, a soul, and a dead spirit when I was born into this world. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the Holy Spirit quickened my spirit, made my spirit alive to God. Amen. And alive to God's book, and alive to God's house, and alive to fellowship, and alive to all these things I was dead to previously. So now, when you get saved, you're an old man, you got the old sinful nature, but you're also a new man, residing in the same body together, the old man and the new man. You are looking at a man this morning that has two natures, the old nature and the new nature, the old man and the new man living in this body. I'm looking at people this morning. If you're saved, you have two natures living in your body. You have a new nature and you have an old nature. Okay? The old nature you were born with, the new nature you got when you were born again the second time by God's Spirit into God's family. And if you're not saved this morning, you are, of most people, all hopeless because the old man is in complete control of your being. You're without God, and as long as you're in that condition, without hope in the world. A sad place to be. Without God and without hope. If you're not saved. Now, each of these two natures, this old man, this new man, this old nature, this new nature, each of these two natures has appetites that are unique to them. The old nature loves sin. Loves it. The new nature hates the old nature is satisfied with a religion or a belief in God, but the old nature is not satisfied with religion. The new nature is not satisfied with religion. The new nature desires a relationship with God. There's a big difference in religion and relationship with God. Big difference, all the difference in the world. The old nature has an appetite that includes the behavior mentioned in verse 5. You have your Bible open? Look at verse number 5 there. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. If you like to mark your Bible, you could circle all those things and write out in the margin, old man. That's what he is. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. That's what he's hungry for. Look at verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. You could circle all that. Put old man. That's what the old nature wants to behave like. That's what the old nature craves. That's what he's hungry for. That's what he enjoys. The new man's quite different. The new nature has an appetite that includes the behavior mentioned in verse 12. Look at it there. In verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Look at verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity. And verse number 15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Those are the things the new nature is hungry for. Those are the things the new nature desires. Those are the things the new nature really enjoys and wants in behavior. So you got the old man, you got the new man. Now let me ask you this morning, which man are you wearing? Which man are you wearing? Which man are you wearing? And if you are wearing the old man, why are you wearing that? Look at those things again in verse number 5. Fornication. The Greek word is our word for pornography. Save people involved in pornography through magazines, television, videos, DVDs, internet. Why are you wearing that? Fornication. Look at all here. uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetous idolatry, all those things. Why are you wearing that? Anger and wrath, friend, people are eaten up with anger and wrath in today's world. Eaten up with. I guarantee you saw it during the Christmas season. In some store somewhere doing some Christmas shopping, you probably saw somebody just angry and mad. I see it in the airport all the time. It's incredible. I mean, it's everywhere. It's at the mall. It's at work. It's at home. It's on the job. It's on the road. It's in the stores. It's out playing ball. Mad, 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 angry, just mad, angry all the time. Man, are you safe? Why are you wearing that? Why are you wearing that? That's not becoming to you. If you're God's child, filthy communication, blasphemy, lying. Why would God's child habitually lie? Folks, why are you wearing that? God's people should not be wearing those. Though that's the old man. Why are you wearing? Why are you putting on the old man? Why are you not putting on the new man? Where is the mercy? Where is the kindness? Where is the humbleness of mind? Where is the meekness? Where is the long-suffering? Where is the joy, the forbearance, the forgiving, the charity, the peace? Where is it? Why aren't you wearing that? Why are you wearing the old man? Why are you not putting on the new man? Why are we not putting those on? Why are we wearing that? As God's people, why are our lives filled with those things which are pertinent to the old man instead of those things that are pertinent to the new man? We're wearing the wrong man if we're living in that kind of thing. Let me answer that question this morning. Let me give you two or three things to think about. Number one, why are you wearing that? Number one, we put on the old man by default. How many of you, how many of you are somewhat literate on a computer? Somewhat literate on a computer, right? Okay, good. I'm very weakly somewhat literate on a computer. Okay, I know where the on button is, and I know how to navigate through the Microsoft Word program so I can type out some documents. Now, I think most of you understand, even some of you kids, you understand the default settings on a computer. Right? Now, if I get into my Word document to type up notes, I used to try to type my notes up for preaching services, but it just didn't fit. But I can teach Bible class in my Providence Baptist College classes. I can do those things with notes. And so when I typed up notes, when I get into that program, Microsoft Word program, there are certain things that are there by default when I begin to type up a document. The font I've chosen is Bookman Old Style. That's kind of bad in this area. I wish it was Bookman New Style or something, but anyway. I don't know why I didn't think about that till right now. Old style. That doesn't sound very good, huh? But it's Bookman Old Style. The font size is 11. The margins are set at a half inch all the way around. Don't ask me why. I just want to get as many words on the paper as I can, I guess. And then the printer default is I have three printers loaded into my computer. I don't know why. But I know that the default computer, the default printer is my Canon i560 that we have at the house. Now, when I open up a document, I automatically begin to type in Bookman Old Style, size 11, and the margins are set half inch. If I want something different than Bookman Old Style, size 11, half inch margins, Canon 560 printer, then I have to manually change those. Don't I? When I get up in the morning, when you get up in the morning, by default, we're wearing the old man. By default. That's the normal setting you're programmed into. That's the natural choices that's programmed into me. We are wearing the old man by default. Now listen, if I don't do something on purpose to change that, I'll go through the day wearing the old man by default. That's what happens to a lot of people. A lot of God's people go through every day wearing the old man by default. The anger, the wrath, the lying, the covetousness, the idolatry. Those things will be my normal pattern of behavior. Why do a lot of Christians wear those things all day long? Because they are what the old man is. They are what the old man enjoys, and we wear the old man by default. Are you with me this morning? You know, even you illiterate computer folks, you understand a little bit what I'm saying here. So we are by default. You know what I've noticed over the years? Sincere Christians, people who really want to do right, they get discouraged with their behavior. Why do I act like this? Why do I fly off the handle? Why am I angry? Angry at my wife. Angry at my husband. Angry at my kids. Angry at work. Angry driving down the road. Why am I angry? Why am I given to behavior like this? Why do I lie? Why do I find my heart leaping after all these things that are worldly in nature? Why do I want to laugh at a dirty joke? Why do I want to run to some bad news? Why do I behave like this, folks? That type of behavior is the result of your default setting. By default. Every morning we wake up, we're wearing the old man. Every morning. You with me this morning, folks? Every morning. Every day. Every single day. Tomorrow morning when I get up, I'll be in default mode. And you will too. And if we don't do something about it, we go through all day wearing that behavior. That's natural by default. So number two, why are we wearing that? Why are you wearing that? We don't take action to put on the new man. If the old man is the one we wear by default, I must purposely take some action to change my default setting. Are you with me? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. I don't have time this morning to develop this entire passage, but I just want to draw out this verse right here because of what it teaches. Look at what it says here, verse number 16. This is talking about getting through suffering, okay? But it applies to what I'm talking about this morning as well. For which cause we faint not. 2 Corinthians 4:16. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Do you see that right there? The inward man is renewed day by day. Look, when I get up, look. Here we are today. We're in church on Sunday. The Bible is being taught, already has been taught. Many of you, most of you have already sat through some kind of Bible. By the way, every class I went to this morning, and there was no prior warning that I was coming. I don't do that to spy on people. I just want to see what's happening in our Sunday school. I kind of am responsible for it. And everywhere I went, there was no goofing off. There was no teacher playing around. Teachers were standing in classrooms with open Bibles, teaching lessons. Every class I went to this morning, I say amen to that. You know, you've been through a Bible lesson already. The songs, the music, the fellowship, the preaching, our hearts are open to God. I love to stand up here and look out over the faces of the congregation as we sing songs. You know what? Some people live for this morning. I see it in their face. The hymns are like a balm. The hymns are like a tonic. The hymns are like medicinal value as they sing from the bottom of their hearts to God Almighty. There's something strengthening about the fellowship of a local New Testament church, opening our hearts to God. Sunday is a great day, wearing the new man through most of the day, but we go to bed on Sunday night and we wake up tomorrow morning on Monday morning expecting that new man to be up and raring to go, but we've forgotten something. The default setting is not the new man. The default setting is the old man. You with me this morning, folks? So you say, oh my goodness, Pastor, does that mean I have to go to church every day? Well, no. But through your Bible and through some prayer time and through good godly music, you can renew that new man tomorrow morning. You can change the settings. You can go in and program some new things by purposely putting off the old man and renewing the new man. But guess what? And have a good day tomorrow. But then guess what? On Tuesday, don't forget. When you get out of bed Tuesday morning, you're back to what? Back to default mode. You with me, church? That's why it's so important for me. That's what's so important for you, to have a time, preferably in the morning, at the beginning of the day, where we meet God and we read His Word and we spend a little time in prayer. Now, I'm not talking about hours and hours and hours for those of you that have a work schedule and children at home and so many things to do, but I'm talking about a little time set apart to meet with God to get the new man renewed. And then you go through the day with that new man renewed and refreshed and ready to live. That's what the word renewed means. It means freshened. Freshened. If I go into my computer Monday morning, I get up early. After I read and pray a little bit, I like to do my Sunday school lesson. I try to prepare on Monday. I have different days, preparation for different things. And I know a couple pastors. In fact, Jack Creeber told his schedule out there in California. He said on Tuesday he doesn't go to the office at all. On Tuesday he is up in the morning through all day long preparing for all the different speaking engagements that he has at his church. They're not out of town, just in, I mean, not in the church, it's in his church, in the ministry of his church. And I have certain things I get ready for on certain days. And Monday morning is my adult Bible class. I've got next Sunday's lesson almost done completely. I'll work ahead on it, work ahead into the next week a little bit. When I open my computer tomorrow morning to begin typing on that Bible class lesson, let's say I'm tired of Bookman Old Style. I don't want Bookman Old Style today. I don't want size number 11 print. I want something italicized. I want something a little larger. I want size 12 print. And I want to bring the margins in. I want to make this document look different. So I go into my computer to the settings, and I choose a different font, and I choose a different font size, and I move the margins in, and I type up that document, and I close the program down, turn the computer off and close the lid, and then go back on Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, I get ready for school chapel. So I get up on Tuesday morning, and after my devotions, I open my Bible program up, and I open a document up, the Word program up, and I go back to a document, to a new document. Guess where it's going to be set? It's not going to be italicized. It's not going to be size 12 print. It's not going to have change. It's going back to the old settings because that's the default setting on my computer. When there's not something new put in, it goes to the old. Are you listening this morning? This is why God's people go through the day angry and mad and covetous and idolatrous and filthiness and evil, concupiscence and lusting after things that we have no business lusting after. Unless you refresh the new man, you're going to by default be the old man. I want something different. I got to make sure I put it on. Now, child of God, listen, do you know why so many of God's people are wearing the old man? It's simple. Are you listening to me? It's simple. It's the default setting. I must not be saved. I'm going to tell you, in some cases, maybe some people aren't saved, but I'm going to tell you what 90% of the trouble is. We're not taking time to refresh the new man. Why do teenagers seem so indifferent to the things of God? And yet their salvation testimony is clear as a bell. If you put the heat on and pressure, they can tell you the time, the place where they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal. Do you realize how many young people are going through week after week after week after week with no Bible, no prayer? Let me tell you something, young people. That little bit of Proverbs and that little Bible class on Monday morning and in school on Thursday morning, that's all fine and dandy and real good. But that's no substitute for you personally refreshing the new man every morning. You wonder why your Christianity is boring. You wonder why you have no desire. You have no joy in serving God. It's just a drag. Your default setting is the old man. He loves nothing about the Christian life. He loves nothing about serving God. He loves nothing about the Bible. That's the default setting. I've got to go in and I've got to refresh and renew that new man every morning. Every morning. I worked at the grocery store when I was a teenager and started out just bagging groceries, you know, and sorting pop bottles. Oh, help us. I mean, back when the day when pop came in bottles, you know what I'm saying? Glass bottles. Tab. Does that date me at all this morning? Tab. I see a few of you my age going, oh man, that'd be good. Tab. That's a button on the No. It was a soft drink long before it was a button on a computer. Tab. They had all the Pepsi products and all the Coke products and the RC products. In Georgia, there's a bunch of RC products. Amen. You got to sort all those bottles out by what they are. And that's what I started out doing, but I worked hard. Mr. Ramsey could trust me and he began to give me some responsibility. And pretty soon I got to do this and I got to do that. For a while I ran the produce department. Had to do the ordering of the lettuce and the cabbage and the carrots and the peppers, all that stuff. And you know what our produce, you see it at the stores now, the produce section. What do those produce sections have? They have a little bitty sprayer. You see that? You ever been shopping, ladies? You walk by and all of a sudden, why do they do that, folks? Because those green leafy vegetables are there, you know. They're wanting to attract your attention with something that's vibrant and looks healthy and is good for you, and it is. But they spray it. If it sits out all day long with no moisture, it dries out and wilts. So they spray every so often, programmed in that little thing there, the sprinkler system, to spray that produce to keep it vibrant, to keep it fresh, to keep it moist, to keep it alive. And that's what I'm saying. That's why God's people are going through every day, day after day, wearing the old man. It's your default setting. If you don't do something to change it, you're going to wear that all the time. All the time. Let me tell you something. Nothing's wrong with God. And nothing's wrong with Christianity. And nothing's wrong with Bible principles. If I'm having a tough time living the Christian life, point the finger where it belongs, deserves to be pointed. Right here. My biggest enemy is the one. I look at my enemy every morning in the mirror. There he is. It's the old man. By default, I am that old man. I must do something on a daily basis to renew, to freshen that new man who will then take me through the day with grace and joy and victory. Amen. Isn't that how you want to live? Sure. But you got to refresh it. Let me say this, number three this morning. If you are wearing the old man, you are underdressed. Did your wife or mother ever tell you when you were getting ready to go somewhere, honey? It's okay, ladies. It has to happen. It has in my home, and I'm not much different than you folks. In fact, I'm probably worse than you folks. If I could get away with it, blue jeans and an open collar short would be the choice of the day every day. What are you wearing that for? She doesn't want to be bossy, so it's kind of like, it's okay, but. But what? If it's okay, then it's okay. Right, you guys? Huh? Not okay, but. It's okay, but. Well, don't you think? And I've learned, you know, you either got to do one or two things. Either just mind your own business or go change. I should be saying this morning. I don't care if it's work. I don't care if it's play. I don't care if it's school, church, going to the store. If you're wearing the old man, you're underdressed. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. God's kids don't live in anger and wrath and lust and idolatry and lying. God's children don't live like that. God's children don't wear... Why are you wearing that? You're underdressed. Dress up. You've got a new man inside of you. You've got a new... Folks, I'm not talking about the type clothes you're wearing. I'm talking about deeds and behavior and talk and desires. Why are God's people not wearing the love, the mercy, the long-suffering, the grace, the holiness? Why are we not wearing that? I'm going to tell you what, separation is a vanishing practice. In many places, it's preached about at church, but it's not lived at home. Where's the holiness? We're children of God. Why are we wearing that which pertains to the old nature? Dress up. I don't mean put a tie on. I mean dress up. Your behavior, your attitude, your deeds, your words. Dress up. Refreshing the new man. You're the old man by default. But you take some time in God's Word. You take some time to talk to God. You take some time to meditate. Spend with God in your new man. And you go through the day appropriately dressed. Billy Sunday got saved. Played baseball for the Chicago White Stockings. Was a partier. Lived the life that Major League Baseball players lived, even back then. You know the story. Downtown Chicago, and heard the singing coming out of the Pacific Garden Mission. I think somebody invited him to come into the services, and some of the other ball players said, "Oh, goodness, let's get out of here." And we went back to the... And Billy said, "No, I'm going." And Billy Sunday got saved. Pretty soon he gave up his baseball. Started going to church, and the old Christian put his arm around Billy Sunday after a Sunday morning service. And he said, "William, I can give you, there are three simple rules I can give you. If you will hold to them, you will never backslide." He said, "Take 15 minutes, number one. Take 15 minutes every day to listen to just God talk to you. Number two, take 15 minutes every day to talk to God. Number three, take 15 minutes every day to talk to somebody else about God." And Billy Sunday said those three rules. You know what word comes to my mind when I hear that? Simple. Simple. Take 15 minutes every day to let just God talk to you. How do you do that? Right there. Right there. I'll challenge you. If you've not had your devotions, have you fallen out of the habit of your devotions? Don't set 15 minutes as a goal. Set 5 minutes as a goal. Set 10 minutes as a goal. Read. Just read it. You say, "I don't understand it all." Before you read, you ask the author, the Holy Spirit of God, to shed light on something. Put something in your heart from those words that will make you a better person today. And then take 15 minutes, and maybe if you're out of the habit of your devotions, take 5 minutes to talk to God. "Dear God, help me today. Put off the old man. Put on the new. Please." Every day. The And then as opportunity comes, looking for an opportunity to speak to somebody else about Christ or giving them a tract. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Those three rules that shaped Billy Sunday's life can make a world of difference in my life and your life. Especially if you're not in the habit. I want to tell you, habits, good habits are very helpful. And when you get out of good habits, they're hard to get back into. Did you see the price of gas, folks? Now, some people quit coming on Wednesday night because gas was too high. Now, it's down. Cheaper than it's been in a long time. And I'll see you folks back on Wednesday night. You say, boy, the services, there must not be anybody here. Well, good crowds on Wednesday night. It's not a number, folks. It's what's right. You get out of the habit, it's hard to get back in. I'm talking to folks this morning. You used to be in that book. You used to have that 15 minutes. You used to have that 20 minutes. You used to have that prayer time. It was like clockwork. You had it every day by habit. You put your heart into it. Some days you got through it. And you wonder to yourself, why am I acting like this? Why do I behave like this? What is wrong with me? And I ask you this morning, why are you wearing that? We are old nature by default. I must freshen the new nature every morning. If I don't, as a child of God, I'm underdressed. Are you listening this morning? Why are you wearing that? Dear Heavenly Father, bless the message to our hearts today. Make us better people for your honor, your glory. Give us victory. Give us, oh God, that life of joy and peace and blessing. Lord, help us to be done with anger and wrath. And God, all these things that are pertinent to the old man. Help us today, please, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who would say, Brother Angel? Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. I've been too long in default mode. Too long in default mode. God spoke to me specifically about something through the course of the message this morning. My devotion life or something you said about the default, the old man. Pray for me. God spoke to my heart this morning. Would you lift a hand all over the room, please, and be honest about it. Come on now. Be honest. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. God sees those hands. Anybody else? Pastor, I hesitated, but I shouldn't have. I should have raised my hand just now. Be honest about it. I should have raised my hand. Somebody else? 15 minutes a day in the Bible, 15 minutes a day talking to God. Freshens that new man. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I have no doubt about it. Would you raise your hand, please, in testimony of that? I'm saved and I know it. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. I am not sure that I'm saved. Pastor Angel, pray for me. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. Claim to be saved, but I'm not. I know it. Pray for me. Somebody this morning, lift a hand, front to back, side to side. Not saved. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You've come to be baptized, or you need to talk to Brother Caleb about that, obeying God in that matter. If you've come to join the church, you've talked to myself and Brother Caleb about it. You know this is the place God wants you to be. We invite you to come this morning. But how about God's people this morning? Determining. Freshen those settings. To freshen that new man. Day by day. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Would you come today? Has the Lord spoken to your heart about something specifically? Your hands are in the air. Why am I angry? Why am I mad? Why do I act like this? Where's my victory? Many, many hands were raised. We invite you to come this morning. Be determined to get back in the habit of daily devotion, that daily freshening. Resetting those settings. Changing those settings. Would you come? You've got a relationship with God through your Bible, through prayer time. Would you come, young person? Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart this morning.
My dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your book, and it's always so relevant to what we need. Help us, O Lord God, please. I pray that this congregation tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, will find the time, make the time, take the time to refresh in that new man. Help us to walk in love, grace, holiness, dressed for the occasion. Thank you, O God, for taking us into your family. Now, Lord, help us to live up to it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.